All right, let's pray. God, thank you again for the chance to be together like this. Bless our time. Speak to us. Work in us, I pray. For your glory and our joy and the good of our world, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just to refresh our memories, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, "Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is helpful." Now, we've been going through this series for the last few months on spiritual gifts, and it's time to wrap it up. And just quickly, some of the things that we've looked at: a definition of a spiritual gift is any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. That's Wayne Grudem's definition. These spiritual gifts are for the building up of the church. They are for adding to the church, inviting people to Jesus, helping people discover, know, believe in, and follow Jesus. And they are for building us up, not just quantitatively, but qualitatively, helping us become more like Jesus. They are for helping us as brothers and sisters push each other towards maturity, giving each other everything that we need to become more like Jesus. As Paul says here, these gifts are tangible, visible demonstrations of God within us and God in our midst. The gifts are reassurances that God is here, God is with us, God is for us, God will take care of us, and God will give us everything that we need to do what He has called us to do. He is not sitting up in heaven, distanced from us, saying, "Love your neighbor, love each other like Jesus loved you, make disciples of all nations, you know, golden rule, do these things on your own, in your own power." No, He gives us the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit gifts to be able to do everything that He's called us to do together. Every believer has at least one gift. Everyone is gifted for the kingdom. There is not an elite group of gifted Christians, and then all the other Christians just look up to them and try to model them and support them. No, every Christian has the Spirit of God, and every Christian has a gift. I love Peter's words, or they're Joel's words, but Peter quotes them in Acts chapter 2. He says, "In the last days," these are the last days, the days. And I don't mean that like in an apocalyptic way. Everything between Jesus' ascension into heaven and His return is the last days, the period of the church, the age of the church. Peter says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Right? Men and women, young and old, rich and poor, of every ethnicity, it does not matter. Every believer has the Spirit. Every believer has a gift, at least one. Some of our gifts are permanent. In other words, this is kind of how we're always going to be serving the church. You can think of the gifts of teaching or the gifts of evangelism. Some of the gifts we might have for a moment or for a season. You can think of the gift of faith. And these gifts, while given by the Spirit and divine, they need to be developed. There's something natural there when you have a gift, a natural ability of evangelism or teaching or whatever. But like any skill, we need to cultivate it. We're not just going to be an expert evangelist crushing it in evangelism all the time on day one. "Oh, it's my gift, and I go out and I convert the world," right? No, like, we need to develop these gifts. We need to cultivate them. We need to learn from others who are more seasoned in these things, and we need to have grace for each other as we fumble and stumble and try to get better at what it is God has called us to do. And so now that we know a lot about a lot of the gifts. Like I said, the gifts we looked at, that's not necessarily an exhaustive list of all of the gifts that there are. We've looked at quite a few together. Now that we know a lot about a lot of the gifts, where do we go from here? What do we do with all of this knowledge? Okay, these are the gifts. I'm supposed to be gifted in something. I think it might be this. Where do I go from here? I'm sure as I've been going through these sermons, you have probably felt with at least one of them, I think this might be me. I think this might be it. I think this might be the way that I'm wired. This might be what God has for me. What now do you do? And you've got a handout, and on the handout is a definition of each of the gifts, and then a little bit of space in between, because what we're going to do together today is we're going to go through each of the gifts and talk about ways that you could live out those gifts here at Southeast City Church, in your neighborhood, in your community, for the wider capital C Church. So if you didn't get that handout, there at the back table there, you can see Nicole. The first gift, this is in no particular order, evangelism. Evangelism is the ability to clearly and compellingly articulate the good news of Jesus and apply it relevantly and persuasively to the hearer for life transformation. If you've got the gift of evangelism, where do you go from here? What do you do? This one, I think, is fairly clear. You start sharing your faith. You start sharing your faith with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers. You invite them into spaces, hopefully like this. You feel that way about this place, I hope. You can invite them into spaces where they can hear the gospel and then talk about it with them. What did you think of that song that was sung? What did you think of what the preacher said? You debrief with them, or you read a book with them, pick up Mere Christianity or The Reason for God or The Case for Christ, read a book with them, listen to a sermon with them, right? Like break these things down with them and have gospel conversations. If this might be your gift, start sharing your faith with your friends. We would love to have more evangelists. We'd love to have more people proclaiming the good news of Jesus in everyday life, where they live, work, play, and go. We would love to have unbelievers here in our midst, journeying with us, trying to figure out who this Jesus is and what his claims and teachings mean for their life. We've often talked about how at Southeast City Church, we want people from all over the spectrum. We want people who are journeying towards Jesus and people who are journeying towards maturity in Jesus. And we want that to be our community made up of those people, all of those people, everywhere in between the two ends of that spectrum. And so if you've got evangelism, we would love for you to be using that. We would love to do more online outreach. It's been kind of wild to me how many people I've been talking to who are like, oh, I watch some of your sermons online. I watch some of your services. And I'm just like, oh, really? That's wild. Because it looks, I'm sure Dave is seeing it right now, it looks sometimes like there's only one or two people watching on Facebook. And you're like, oh, why are we even doing that? But then it finds out, no, people watch it later or people watch it off the website. Like, clearly, when you put yourself out there online, there are people that will consume the content. And so let's get as much Jesus stuff out there as we can. If you've got a gift of evangelism, we'd love to have more videos talking about Jesus. We'd love to have more testimonials to put out there for the world. If you've got the gift of evangelism, here are some ways you could inspire evangelism in your church. Because remember, the gift isn't just for you. Right, the gift is meant to be used to help other Christians grow in what God has called them to do. So you can come to us with your outreach ideas. You can help us organize, promote, and run an Alpha or a Christianity Explored. You can encourage us to pray for the lost when we're having our prayer meetings together on Thursday night. Who are the people that you're walking with? Tell us their names. Tell us their stories, where they're at on their journey. Let's pray for them. Encourage prayer for the lost. Keep us on mission. If you ever feel like our church is becoming too much about the people that are already here, remind us that we don't just exist for ourselves. We exist for a lost world, a lost neighborhood, a lost city. Keep us on mission. Share the stories of your experiences and equip us in how to share our faith. Tell us how you do it. Tell us how you answer certain questions how you deal with certain difficulties and challenges. Build our confidence in our ability to share our faith ourselves. These are ways you can use this gift. Teaching. Teaching is the ability to explain Scripture and apply it to people's lives. There are a few ways I'm hoping to create space for this gift to develop in people's lives. Our family gatherings on Thursday evenings, before we get to our time of prayer, I'm hoping that different people will be able to share a teaching each time we come together, just 10, 15, 20 minutes with a small audience, not overly intimidating. That could be a place where you explore whether this is your gift, and it could be a place where you develop that gift. On Sundays, I'm hoping to have throughout the year what we call Community Voices Sundays, where we don't have a full sermon, but we have different people in the church come up and give short teachings on a text. These are spaces I'm hoping to create for the gift of teaching. You can contribute to our blog. We have a blog, you know. And I'm tired of writing for it, so, you know, and after the trucker one, I don't ever want to write one again. No, just a joke. But you can contribute to the blog if you want to. Teach, obviously, informally in your going deeper groups and around tables with other Christ followers. And as your gift develops, we can pray about what might be next. I will say that for consistency across our discipleship environments, to teach in an authoritative or a leadership position of trust capacity, we would need alignment through covenant membership with our confession distinctives and ethics. Prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, discernment. Prophecy is the human report of a divine revelation. Prophecy is the speaking forth in merely human words of something God has spontaneously brought to mind. And I think wisdom and knowledge are very similar to that. We receive words of wisdom, words of knowledge for the moment from God, for the church, or for individual people. God tells us to tell people something. How do we incorporate this gift into our church's life? Well, I think that that needs to be a more fulsome conversation than I can possibly have here today in the time that we've got. And so I'm going to put in a plug for our next family gathering. We are, as you know, hosting family gatherings online every 2 weeks on Thursday evenings from 8 to 9:30. It's online so that it's accessible for everybody. The next one is on September 22nd. And we've invited Richard and Terry Long to come and guide us in a conversation about how they've incorporated these supernatural word gifts into their church's life and what it could look like for us to incorporate them into our church's life here. We want to be a church where people can share. If they have a psalm, a teaching, a revelation, that's prophecy, wisdom, knowledge, another language, or an interpretation. If you've got that from God, we want to create space for you to use that gift within the guidelines given us by Scripture for orderly worship and in a way where everyone is morally instructed, encouraged, and built up in their faith and not discouraged, condemned, or misled. A less intimidating place where you could start to practice this gift, if you feel like you have it, is in our family gatherings or in your going deeper groups. I think God wants me to share this, or I've been having these dreams or these visions or these thoughts, and I want to share this with you guys. What do you think? Those smaller gatherings would be a safe place to start to do that. And then, those that have the gift of discernment. The gift of discernment is a proficiency in determining whether someone or something is from God or the devil. If that's your gift, we will need you to be paying close attention to the things that are being said. Is this from God? Is this consistent with the faith once for all delivered to the saints? Is this person genuine? Is there something off here? We'll need your input when we're making significant decisions for our church's mission and direction. We'll need your input when we're selecting elders, when we're selecting leaders for different ministries. If you've got discernment, we want you to speak into our church's life. I've been very grateful over the years to have different people tell me, be careful around that person. there's something off about that person, and oftentimes it turns out to be true, and I'm glad that I didn't get in too deep. We need discernment. The gifts of tongues and interpretation. The gift of tongues is the ability to speak in syllables not understood by the speaker. That could be another human language that you've never studied or learned before, or it could be an angelic divine language that no human being speaks. And then interpretation is the ability to interpret those syllables for the understanding of others. As Richard stated when he was here, thankfully, to my relief, preaching on that topic, when Richard was here, he shared that this is mostly a gift for intercessory prayer. It's mostly a prayer gift. Tongues is the Spirit praying in and through us when we've run out of words, or the ability to pray intelligibly, or we're too tired, or we just don't know what or how to pray. The Spirit can keep us praying and pray in us and through us. What are some ways that this gift could be used in our midst? Again, when we're having prayer nights for our family gatherings on Thursday, you could pray in the Spirit, quietly in the background if we're in person, or muted if we're on Zoom, so just so that you're not taking away from those who are praying intelligibly, but you could pray through the whole prayer meeting, right? If you've got tongues, you could pray through the whole prayer meeting, keeping the prayer going for all of the things that we are praying for. You could use this gift in your private prayer. I hope that we have people that are interceding for our church, interceding for our neighborhood, interceding for our city, our country, our world. We need prayer. We need people that are going to God and praying for this church's future and sustainability and integrity and its continuing preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and its unity and its witness. We need people praying for that. We need people praying for people to come to know Jesus in Alta Vista, in our city, our country, our world. So if you have this gift, would you please privately intercede using tongues? In terms of corporate worship, again, we're trying to figure out how best to incorporate these more supernatural word gifts into our corporate gatherings. But when there is a space for this, if you have a revelatory message to give in a tongue and there is someone present with the gift of interpretation and they are willing and able to interpret, we would invite you to share the message with us again for our edification. The gift of faith. Faith is relentless, resilient hope in the goodness and faithfulness of God. And with it, I've got healing and miracles here. Now, if you remember my sermons on those, I don't think that there are people who have a gift of healing. You bring sick people to them, they're going to get healed. Or that there are people who have a gift of miracle working. If you go to them, they'll be able to perform a miracle. I don't think it works like that. But rather, God gifts healings and gifts miracles to the church when we pray. Not always, but sometimes. And so it goes very closely with faith. You might have a very strong desire or a passion to see God glorified through the impossible, to see God glorified through the miraculous and through healing. If you've got faith and you've got that strong passion for healing and miracles, how could you use that gift here? Again, family gatherings. I'm plugging family gatherings hard here. All right, join us for our prayer nights to help us pray with expectant faith for those that need or want healing, for those that might need a miracle, to pray for miracles in our world. On Sundays, I would love to see more prayer around our Sunday gatherings for people to pray leading up to and during our worship gatherings. And I would love to organize things so that people could actually come forward after the gathering for prayer. If you've got that gift of faith, that strong passion, we would invite you to be part of praying with and for people in these arenas. How could you inspire expectant faith in your church? You can do that by praying with expectant faith. Right? When I pray with people that have a lot of faith, that stirs up my faith. That strengthens my faith. So if you've got that, pray with us. Stir us up to faith. And in those moments where it feels like we're being defeatist, remind us of the stories of God's faithfulness. Remind us of who He is and what He's done. I'm not saying that we can't speak openly and honestly about hard things, but I think we always, as Christians, need to be coming back to hope. And so if you've got that gift of faith, in those conversations, those nights or those informal conversations where it just feels like we're overwhelmed by the world and we're getting beaten down and we're losing our way and it's getting dark, and you see that, just speak into those moments. Remember who God is. Remember what He's done. Remember how He showed up here and He showed up there, not just in Scripture, but in your life, how He's shown up for our church on so many occasions. If you've got faith, that's how you can use that gift. The gift of encouragement. It's the ability to build people up, to make them feel seen, appreciated, accepted, valued, loved, supported, and to build into them, to give them what they need in terms of comfort, affirmation, strength, courage, camaraderie. So it's to build into people and it's to build people up. How could you use that gift? Well, I can tell you right now, everybody needs encouragement. And so you can write letters to people. You can take people aside after the service. You can send text messages or other types of messages, direct messages, however the kids are doing it these days. Right? You can send messages to people. You know, just, I was thinking about you this week. I was praying for you this week. Like, I want you to know that I see this in you. And I believe God sees this in you. And this is what I think of you. And this is how when you did that, it affected me. Like, just send those encouragements out into the world. When people are expressing their struggles at family gatherings, encourage. In your Going Deeper group, encourage. When you're talking to our neighbors at Russell Gardens, and they're talking about their struggles, and some of them are very honest, incredibly vulnerable and honest, in those moments, offer words of encouragement. Encourage your neighbors. Encourage people in your workplaces. I like the way I heard it once. Add value to people in every single one of your conversations. And I like that. Wouldn't it be amazing if people walked away from every conversation with you, or almost every conversation with you, feeling encouraged? We live in a culture of cynicism, and everyone, everywhere, it feels like, is very demoralized right now. What a blessing this gift could be, not just for our church, but for our neighbors, for where you work. How do you inspire encouragement in your church? Encourage people to encourage. Help people be more positive. Right? When you see that we're having a hard time running a food bank on some Monday night, or we're having a hard time serving in this capacity or that capacity, and we're getting kind of negative and bitter and snappy at each other, help people to be more positive. Encourage people to encourage. Generosity is the ability to cheerfully give yourself and especially your finances away. How can you use this gift? Well, again, I think this one is sort of obvious, but you could give to Southeast City Church. I want you to know that the money you give to our church, it does not just go to salaries, right? It does not just go to, well, we don't have a building, so it doesn't go to any kind of building maintenance, which is nice. It goes to things like our movie night in the park outreach. We spent almost $2,000 on that, right? And we had over 100 people from the neighborhood come and just feel blessed by having a fun night as a community. And our church hosted that and enabled that. Your money goes towards things like that. It goes towards our food bank. Most of our food comes from the City of Ottawa Food Bank, but sometimes if we get 20 cucumbers, and we know we're going to get 40 people that night, we go out and we buy 20 more cucumbers so everybody gets a cucumber, right? We're shoring up the shelves and the supply at the food bank. Kingdom partnerships. We partnered with churches in Ukraine that are trying to help people in the midst of the war. We've partnered with Safe Families here in Ottawa. We've partnered with Jericho Road on multiple occasions, right? We love to give our money away to other kingdom initiatives in the city, people that are doing things that are consistent with our heart and our values and our vision. We have a benevolence fund. I don't know if you know that, but every year we set aside $11,000 to help people pay their bills if they're in a crisis situation. And by God's grace, we've been able to do that. We've been able to help people pay rent. We've been able to help people buy groceries. We've been able to help people pay for their utilities if they are in a time of difficulty. Now, there's an application and a vetting process for all of that. CRA likes to keep us in check. So it's not just like, I have a need, here's money. There's a process, but we've been able to help people with that. And so if you give to our church, you are giving to others. How else can you be generous? Keep your eyes and your ears open with your church family, in your neighborhood, at your place of work. People will say things here and there, and you can be like, I could probably invest in that. I could probably support that. I could probably give to that. How could you inspire generosity in your church? Make giving opportunities known to your church. Let us know what's out there. Let us know what the needs are. Let us know if you know someone that's struggling and we can come alongside them. Connect people with our benevolence fund, right? Like, a lot of the people we've helped through that fund have been people that were referred to us by a lady named Sheila, who works with Fight for Freedom, and she helps people escape sex trafficking and the sex industry, right? And she'll be like, I've got this lady, this single mom, she needs help. She lets us know, here's a need, and we've been able to step into those needs. So connect people with our benevolence fund. Those are ways you can be generous. Mercy, the ability to feel and express unusual compassion and sympathy for those in difficult or crisis situations, and provide for them with the necessary help and support to see them through. People with this gift often have a particular passion for justice and for ministering to the disadvantaged, marginalized, and exploited, and for ministering to persecuted Christians. If you've got a gift of mercy / justice, compassion, you can help our church in the justice ministries we've got going. Help us combat the injustices of food insecurity and social isolation due to mental illness, trauma, and addictions with our food security outreaches, right? We've got our Monday night food bank at Russell Gardens. We've got our Wednesday night food deliveries with the Russell Heights Community House Food Bank. Help us combat both food insecurity and social isolation through that. Get involved with any number of organizations that are doing good work in our city. And there are several represented by the people in this room, right? People in our church are involved with Ottawa Inner City Ministries, which addresses homelessness, Safe Families, which addresses families in crisis before the system has to get involved, Jericho Road, addictions recovery for men, Fight for Freedom, sex trafficking, Matthew House, refugees, restoring hope, youth homelessness, city kids, at-risk children and youth. I mean, there's just so much good stuff that's going on. And people in our church that you can talk to, I hear you're involved with this, and you can get involved if you've got that gift. And even if you don't. But if you've got that gift, especially. Look at your work. How could you use this gift at your work? Is there anywhere that my business, my industry, is profiting unethically, behaving unethically? Are we exploiting the poor? How can my business, my industry, do things in a way that is more closely aligned with the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How could you inspire mercy in your church? Raise awareness of and inform us of social concerns and injustices in our city, country, and world, and ways we could help. You can do that on our Staying Connected page, right? We've got a Facebook Staying Connected page. You can post pretty much whatever you want there. Or you can share about it through word of mouth. Keep us working to be just in our ministries. If there's a way you feel like we are exploiting the poor or doing things unethically, or there's a better way we could do things, a more just way we could do things, let us know. Keep us accountable to proximity to the poor, the marginalized, and the exploited. When we started this church, we wanted to be a church that was for the community, as talked about in that video, embedded in and for the community. And we always said, especially for the poor, the marginalized, and the exploited. And by God's grace, we've had lots of open doors in those communities. I pray we never get to a place where we're not in close proximity to people that are struggling. If we ever get to that place, call us out on that. Jesus is close to the poor. We need to be close to the poor. Draw our attention to the plight of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world and how we can pray for them and could aid them, like we did with Obed in Afghanistan, or sorry, not in Afghanistan, in Toronto, helping Christian refugees get out of Afghanistan and flee Taliban persecution. The gift of service, the ability to come alongside people to help them complete a task. If you feel like you've got the gift of service, you can join a Sunday team, right? Our tech team, our welcoming hospitality team, our children's church team, our setup teardown team, right? Join one of our Sunday teams and help us create a space where people can have an encounter with God. That's what you're doing when you do those things. Those things might seem small or insignificant, but they're not. You are creating a place where people can gather and worship and encounter God together. You're hosting that space. That's incredibly important. Join one of our tech teams, or our Sunday teams. Join our food security outreaches. Again, bless your neighbors. If you've got the gift of service, keep your eyes and ears open for needs. I remember when COVID first struck, I think my wife, Diana, has got a gift of service. I think she's got multiple gifts. One of them is great taste in men. I'm sorry, I don't know why I made that joke. For those of you that don't know, that's my wife. But one of her gifts is service. And I remember when COVID hit, almost immediately, when things were shut down, she went to the neighbors in closest proximity to us and just gave them our phone number and said, if you need anything, call. Like, if you need us to get groceries, if you need us to get prescriptions for you, right? Whatever you might need, give us a call. And we did have people call us. When the derecho hit and almost everybody lost internet and power and we miraculously didn't, Diana's like, our home is going to become a place where people can charge their phones and their watches and their laptops and use the internet and get work done and boil the kettle and make tea. And we were able to have people do that, right? Keep your eyes and your ears open for needs in your neighborhood. If you've got the gift of service, again, look at your work. How can my business, my industry, give back? How can we serve and invest in the community? How can we make the city a better place for all and make a difference in the world? How could you inspire service in your church? Make service opportunities known to us. Again, through the Staying Connected page or through word of mouth. Help us know if there's something we can step into. Now, just quickly as an aside, Waybase, they do a ton of research on the church in Canada. They've actually created a mobile app for churches that churches can use for free, at least initially. And you can post your content there, and you can engage and connect with your people there and share causes and opportunities and needs and prayer requests. So if anybody is app gifted or technologically gifted and wants to help me figure this tool out, we could use it to communicate with each other as a church in real time without having to use Facebook, because I know not everybody likes Facebook. Hospitality. The ability to use your home in a way that seeks to make strangers neighbors and neighbors family of God. Again, how can you use this gift? Invite people into your home. Invite in not just the people that you know and love well, but people you don't know yet. Invite your neighbors. Invite the visitors and the newcomers on Sundays. Why don't you come over for dinner? Come alongside those, if you don't have your own space to be able to do that, come alongside those in our church who have the space and help them do that. You can contribute to our family meals once a month. First Sunday of the month, we have a family meal, potluck style, together downstairs. Contribute to that if you've got the gift of hospitality. And I want to cast a little bit of vision here. Wouldn't it be neat if we actually got to a place where there was somebody hosting a dinner at their house every single Sunday? And we could say, on this Sunday, if you're new, you can go to so-and-so's house. Even if you're not new, right? You just want to get together with your church family and have a meal. These are the people in our church who have a dinner prepared and a home open for you to go to. Wouldn't it be neat if we could get to a place where we were that organized about it? And people were able to exercise that gift of hospitality, and people were able to be blessed by it. How can you inspire hospitality in your church? Share your tips and your tricks, right, for how to make affordable meals for a lot of people, right? Share the stories of what happens around your table. By having people over, this has happened in my relationships with people, and it can inspire others to be hospitable as well. And lastly, leadership. The ability, which is the ability to socially influence, the ability to socially influence others and gain their aid and support in the accomplishment of a common and ethical task, and inspire and help them to become their best selves. If you've got that gift of leadership, how could you use that in your workplace? Grow in being a servant leader. Remember what we said, leaders are not in it for themselves. Leaders think of themselves last. Leaders are invested in their people and their thriving and flourishing. Leaders take responsibility, they take ownership. Leaders have a vision for the common good. Leaders model what they want to see. They do what they expect of others. Leaders serve, and they serve fast, first, and to quote Simon Sinek, they eat last. As Jesus says in Matthew 20, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles dominate them, and the men of high position exercise power over them. It must not be like that among you. On the contrary, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. If you've got the gift of leadership, become a Jesus-like leader, a servant leader. Grow in that in your workplaces or in the environments where you lead. In the church, if you have leadership potential or you feel a call to pastoral leadership, we can pray together, we can discern together, and we can move at whatever pace is necessary towards leadership opportunities. And if you already are a leader in the church, let's keep getting better together and talking about how we can do that. These are just some of the ways we can utilize these gifts in our church, in our neighborhood, with others. We all, hear me, we all, if we are Christ followers, have the Spirit of God. We all have something to do. We all have something to give, something that is needed, so let's get on with it. You were not saved by Jesus to just sit in a pew. You were not saved by Jesus to just sit on the sidelines. He wants to build his church with you. He wants to be on mission with you. And so go back and listen to these sermons. Go through the questions that we asked in each one. If you're this, you might have this gift. All right, go through the list that we just went through today together as a church in this service. Go through these things and pray, God, what do you want from me? What do you have for me? Talk to others. What do you see in me? I'm amazed at how many people see things in me that I don't see in myself, and I see things in them that they don't see in themselves, right? I think you're gifted in this way. Oh, really? Right? Talk to others. What do you see in me? What do you think my gifting might be? What value do I add to the church? And then learn from others that are already doing those things. And try and grow and develop your gift. I'm going to miss a whole lot of people, right? But I mean, when it comes to teaching, I think of Tyler. I think of Taffy. When it comes to generosity and service, I think of the Josses. I think of Nicole. Liam's very happy about that, right? Well, I think of Sue. When it comes to evangelism, I think of Sue, right? Like, she doesn't know that she's gifted in so many things, right? She's just like, here's what I did this week. And I'm like, that's incredible. Really? It was just a normal week. It's like, wow, you're gifted in evangelism, hospitality, service. No, I'm not. I don't know what those things are. No, you are, right? Again, we see things in others that they don't see in themselves. But when I think of hospitality, service, evangelism, I think of Sue. When I think of encouragement, I think of my wife. When I think of discernment, I think of Rachel. I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many gifts in our church that I'm already seeing. You can learn from these people. Do you see this gift? If I have this gift, how do I get better at using this gift? How do I use this gift in everyday life? We were saved to be gifted for the kingdom. So let's not be passive, just taking it all in, but let's be active, being on mission with Jesus. And let's remember that everything must be done out of love. Paul says, we've read this, but it's so good. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak human or angelic languages but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. He's going through the gifts there, right? If I have knowledge, prophecy, tongues, generosity, service, mercy, justice, but I don't have love, I've got nothing. Your gifting is not for you. It is not for you to build a name, a brand, a platform, a legacy, an empire for yourself. It is not for your glory. It is for others. It is for their good, the good of your church, the good of the church, the good of your neighborhood, your city, your world. It is for the glory of King Jesus. Paul says this in Philippians 2. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Paul says, Jesus is God, but he did not consider his divinity, his godness, something to be exploited for his own gain. I.e., he didn't see his godness as a reason not to come to earth, as a reason not to serve, as a reason not to die for us, right? He didn't see his godness as something to be exploited for himself, but he took on the form of a servant. And he left his throne room, and he came down, and he sacrificed for us. When we were not worthy, when we didn't deserve it, when we were rebels against his love and his grace and willfully at odds with him and his will for our lives and for the world, when we were at our worst, Jesus came for us. And Jesus died for us, emptied himself for us, gave his life for us so that we could be forgiven and rescued and restored and made new and brought into the life that we were made for, right? Jesus wasn't like, I'm God, I don't got to do any of this. He's like, even though I'm God, I will serve. I will sacrifice for the good of my creatures to bring them into relationship with me, and through them to push back the darkness. That is the kind of God that Jesus is. And that is the kind of God that lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And so we should not consider God in us, our divine giftedness, as something to be exploited for our own gain. This is for me. This is all about me. But may we empty ourselves. And may Jesus build his church through us. Let's use our gifts for his glory together as a family. At this time, we're going to take communion. And communion is a chance for us to remember everything that Jesus has done and to celebrate him and to reflect and to confess. And if you don't have your elements, again, you can get them from the back table. And today, if you know that you have been using your giftedness for your own glory, this is a chance to confess that. This is a chance to bring that out of the darkness and into the light and receive the grace of Jesus for that sin. But what I also want us to do today is I want us to marvel at this reality. Jesus says this, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus says, I'm going to build the church. But the reality is that Jesus does that with us. He could do it on his own. He's absolutely able to do it on his own, but he wants to do it with us. He wants to partner with us in the pushing back of the darkness and the restoration of all things. Jesus didn't just die and rise so that we could be forgiven and live with God forever, although he did do that, and that is good. But Jesus also died and rose so that we could come alongside him in his mission, partner with him in building the church, and restore all things with him. Let's marvel at that today as we take communion. This bread symbolizes Jesus' body broken for us, so that we could be gifted for the kingdom. Let's take this in remembrance of him. And this juice symbolizes Jesus' blood shed for us, so that we could be gifted for the kingdom. Let's take this in remembrance of him. At this time, we've got some... Oh, no, we don't have any prayers. Well, you probably know what they are off the top of your head. Just ask the Spirit to lead you in prayer. But yeah, we'll take a couple of moments for you to do whatever you feel you need to with God, and then Liam will lead us in our last song.